good day. And every single one of us here have experienced bad days. We've experienced times in our life when we thought that nothing could ever go wrong. We thought that everything was going to go good. You ever thought, boy, everything's going to be good for the rest of my life? I've thought that before. And it just takes one moment when everything can change. When everything can change. When what you thought was perfect falls apart. It's just one moment. For some of you here, it's a bad day. For some of you, it's been a bad year. It could be a bad decade. Some of you could just say, I've had a bad life. And there are some people that have just had bad lives. But I believe that with God, he can take the bad and he can turn it into something good. He can take our lives. He can take lives that have been totally messed up and turn it into good. And we've seen that happen. We've seen that happen here in this church. With God, all things are possible. And as we look through this series, turning the good, turning the bad into good, we're looking at Jesus Christ. And as Jesus hung on the cross, there were seven things that he said as he hung on the cross. And I think all of us can agree today that Jesus, on that day of Calvary, was having a bad day. It was a bad day. There were people that were torturing him. They were humiliating him. They were lying about him. They were beating him. The Bible says that he was beaten and he was bruised. We know that he was whipped and he was nailed. And these people were out to kill him on that day. But Jesus, as he went through that process, as he went through that day, he said seven things. And I think it's important to see what kind of frame of mind Jesus was in, because Jesus turned a bad day into a good day. When we look back at that day of Calvary now, we don't look at it as a day of loss. We don't look at it as a day of defeat. We look at it as a day of victory. In fact, today we remembered it. We took communion. What are we doing? We're remembering what Jesus did, because it was on that day that we have found our salvation, we found our freedom, that we had been set free. He took what was a bad day and he turned it into a good day. He turned it into a good day. And so this morning, and if you have your Bibles, your iPads or whatever you look at your scriptures on, if you got John chapter 19, verse 28, John chapter 19, verse 28, we're looking at the next thing Jesus said, and it says, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. I am thirsty. That's the next thing Jesus said, I'm thirsty. And it's just such a simple statement. But as I looked at that statement, I began thinking about it. I was like, there's a lot that can be said from that one statement. When Jesus said, I'm thirsty, you know what he was doing? He was acknowledging, really, that he was human. You know, sometimes we think that Jesus was God and he didn't feel pain and he didn't suffer any of that. But I want you to know this morning that he suffered, he felt, just like you and I would feel. The pain, the sorrow, is the same thing that you and I would feel. He was in a body like you and mine. And he suffered, he felt, and he was on that cross. He said, I'm thirsty. He needed a drink. And so from this statement, I want to look at three things this morning, three things that I believe we can apply to our lives when we're going through a difficult time. Number one is this: acknowledge your physical needs. Jesus acknowledged his physical needs. He acknowledged his physical needs. Even Jesus had physical limitations. And this morning, as super cool or as super strong that you may think you are still living in a human body, and your body will have limitations. Now, some people can push it to different limits, but sooner or later, you're going to meet the limitations of your body. And as I was thinking about this, if we only focus on the spiritual aspects of our life, we can begin to neglect the physical aspect of our life, and that can have some very dire circumstances. Jesus wasn't afraid to acknowledge his human need in the middle of his trial, in the middle of the most difficult day of his life. Pastor Wayne Cordero, in his book, Leading on Empty, which I think is one of the greatest leadership books ever written, had this quote in there that I've never forgotten, and it says, we don't forget that we are spiritual beings. We forget that we are human beings. And there are people, you know, in church and in ministry today, there are pastors that are burning out every single week, and they're doing good things. They're doing the right things. They're doing the work, you know, we call it the work of the Lord. They're doing all of these things, and yet they're burning out. And it's not because they forgot they were spiritual beings. They forgot that they were human beings. And this morning, when you're going through a trial in your life, don't forget that you are a human being. Don't forget that you have limitations. And we can spend all the time we want reading the Bible and in prayer and all of that, but we still live in a human body, and we need to make sure that we are acknowledging our physical needs. Jesus, when he said he needed a drink, it was acknowledging that look, I have a body and my body's thirsty. And you know, likewise for you and I, in the middle of our trials, I believe it's very wise and very important to acknowledge in a healthy way. Everybody say healthy way. to acknowledge in a healthy way our needs. Now, when we go through stuff and we go through trials, it's easy to remember, or it might come to mind, the unhealthy way to meet the needs. And I wrote down a couple of things. I was thinking about that. There might be people who just say, man, I need to snap. Anybody here ever thought, I need to snap? I like snap. I like snap right now, right? And I know we laugh about it because that's everyone else. That, of course, we don't think that way because we're Christians and we love God. So we never get angry and we walk around with halos on our head, right? Yeah, right. All right. So there are people, I need to snap. How about somebody, man, I need to slap somebody's head. I like slap somebody's head, right? Some point in life. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? And we look at these things. Or how about, man, I need a drink, or I need to smoke, I need to do this, I need to do that. And there are unhealthy ways that we can look at how to navigate or what our flesh wants to do. But it's not necessarily the best thing because it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't get us into a healthy place. I was thinking about it, acknowledging our needs in a healthy way. When you're going through a difficult time, you know some of the best things you can do? Can I give you a couple of them right here? Number one is to say, I need to laugh. I need to laugh. Look at the person next to you, right? Look at that person and just laugh. For some, it was easier than others. Sometimes we need to just laugh. There are people that, man, they go through life like they're sucking on a lemon, you know? And I tell you, laughter, the Bible says that laughter is like a medicine. And you know, science has confirmed what the Bible says. Laughter is good for you. When you laugh, it releases endorphins. I'd very much rather be around someone that knows how to laugh than someone that knows how to get upset. There are some people out there, man, I've met some of them. The biggest problems, they just laugh. Those are the kind of people you want to travel with, especially if you're going to a third world country, because stuff's going to happen. Things are going to be out of your control. You better know how to laugh. You see, laughter is a good thing. And there are times in life when you're going through a tough time, you better laugh. Learn how to laugh. And of course, there are some situations where you may not laugh at that moment. Okay, it's not a laughing matter. But as you work through it, instead of being depressed, learn how to laugh. I was reading a book, I'm reading this book, and the author was talking about laughter, and he said how there was a journalist who was in Egypt, and he got arthritis. While he was there, he got arthritis in his spine. And the doctor said, this condition that you got is a one out of every 500 people recover. The prognosis is not good. But what this guy did is he actually checked himself out of the hospital, got a hotel room. He rented these comedies, the Marx Brothers comedies, and he just watched these comedies, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed. You know, eventually his body healed himself. His body healed itself. He was healed of that. Why? Because he laughed. He learned how to laugh. And at times, we just need to laugh. And I've been there where, man, you're just having a tough time. You say, boy, I just got to go rent a funny movie. Just watch a funny movie and laugh, all right? Have a good conversation and laugh. Laughter is a good thing. Another thing that we can address in our body, Jesus said, I need a drink. I think at times it's okay for us to say, I need a hug. I need a hug. You know, hugs are good things. I love Hawaii because everybody hugs. We have our guest speaker come. You know what I always tell the guest speakers? We're in the green room. The first thing I say is like, hey, just to let you know, everybody's going to hug you. You get people from the mainland, they don't hug. Shake hand, right? It doesn't work here, right? I mean, you grab the hand, you pull them towards you, and you hug them. We love to hug in Hawaii. And I think that's so good. I heard a pastor speaking once at a pastor's conference, and he's talking about having standards, and he goes, I don't hug any ladies in our church. I won't hug any ladies. I leaned over to my wife. I said, if I didn't hug anybody, nobody would come to our church, because that's just our culture. We hug, and hugging is a great thing. And at times, you might be out there say, I need a hug. I need a hug. I read that they did some studies, you know, and they found out, husbands, that if you hug your wife in the morning before you leave, that you'll live longer. See, the first service laughed at that too, and I don't know why. And then when I told a joke, they didn't laugh. And so you guys aren't going to laugh at the joke either then, because you guys laughed harder than them. But it's true. They find that if they hug, if you get a hug in the morning, you'll live longer. So hug your wife. They say that hugging releases stress. And I've had days like that when I've felt so stressed out. And I'll go home and I'll tell my son, come, give me a hug. And it just, there's something about a hug. Don't put that behind, but hugging is a great thing. When you're going through a tough time, give somebody a hug. Have somebody hug you. And again, being in Hawaii, it's easy to get a hug. Another good thing is to say, I need to get to church. I need to get my body in church. I need to get my behind here. Because sometimes you don't feel like it. When you're going through a tough time, people check out from church. This is where you should be. But sometimes people feel that, well, my life is a mess right now, so I shouldn't go to church till I get things fixed up. No, that's not how it works. The reason we're in church is because we need Jesus. Amen. We're not perfect. We're messed up. We go through things. We make mistakes in life. And I've heard people say, well, you know, Christianity is just a crutch for weak people. And I totally agree with that because I need to lean on Jesus. I need to lean on him. I need his grace in his life. I need his strength in my life. Because on my own, I'll be in trouble. So when you're going through tough times, don't feel like you can't come in church because your life is not perfect. This is exactly where you need to be, right? Sure Foundation Hilo, hypocrites welcome. We should be full of hypocrites and liars and all people that mess up and not have an attitude that, well, when you get better, you can be a part of this club. That's not what it's about. You come as you are. You come as you are. And we're not here to clean you. The Bible says that we're fishers of men, so we're here to catch you, but we let Jesus do the cleaning. Amen? Amen. So come as you are. Get to church. Another big one is just to say, boy, I need rest. I need to clear my mind. It's another thing. And of course, here's the most important one. If you're taking notes, you're going to want to write this down. I need to golf. Write it down. Now, I love golf. You fill in the blank with whatever it is. I need to fish. I need to sit on the beach. I need to knit. You know, I need to, whatever you enjoy doing. And in the middle of your difficult times in life, don't forget that there is that physical need to do things that relieve stress in your life. And don't be uptight. You know, we feel, if I'm not uptight about this situation, then I'm not doing my job. No, sometimes you just got to learn how to chillax. You just got to learn how to just go with the flow. That even in the middle of the storm, you can take that time of rest and to do what recreates your life. So whatever it is, there is that need. Stress is a killer. We would all agree that eventually stress will kill you. You might know somebody who've experienced that. They've experienced symptoms in their body. And when you're going through a bad day, learn how to find those things that can relieve stress in your life. Amen? Amen. Number two is this. Prioritize your physical and spiritual needs. Prioritize your physical and spiritual needs. Exodus 20, we see that God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 8, this is what God said to him. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. You know, I believe in having a day of rest. Now, there are people out there who have taken this to legalistic extremes, and they're saying it has to be on this day and this and that. And, you know, I get it. You know, I have a neighbor like that, right? And they believe that it's on a certain day, which is the, you know, they're going to say it's on Sunday. And that's fine, okay, but I don't think that we need to be that legalistic about it. The point is this, is take a day of rest in the week. Make sure you're having a day of rest. You say, well, why is that? Because you're a human being. You're human. You need to rest. We weren't made to just work, 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 and work. Learn how to take a day of rest. You know that you won't be good to anyone if you aren't good to yourself. If you're not good to yourself, what good are you going to be to anyone else? And, you know, as you're sitting here today, again, I don't want to preach doom and gloom, but really, as we live life, you may be having a good day today. You may be having a bad day. Your bad day will change, okay? And your good day will change. Because bad things happen, good things happen. We go through different seasons. We go through trials. We go through mountains in life, right? And we can't help it. It's not that God is mad at you. It's not that God's out to get you. That's just life. We live in an imperfect world. And you may be on the mountain right now, but next week you might be in the valley. And then you can be out of the valley, back on the mountain. That's just life, all right? And thinking about that, I was trying to think of an illustration. And this is the illustration that I could think of, is that if you were to think today that someone came up to you and said, look, there's a marathon. A marathon is coming up. And if you finish, the average time for running a marathon for a man, I don't know the women's one, but a man it's 4.5 hours. So someone came to you and says, look, there's a marathon going on. I got you in it. And with the help of a generous sponsor, they're going to chronicle your whole thing. If you can finish the race in 4.5 hours or less, they're going to pay you $1 million. How many of you would be pretty excited about that? Right? You may not even like running. You'll be all right. And to say like, hey, we give you, you got 1 year to train. $1 million, 1 year to train to run that marathon. What is a marathon? 26.2 miles? Okay, you got 1 year to train to run that marathon. Now, $1 million. How many of you would probably take up on that, right? Show of hands. Okay, some of you, all right? Some of you are like, no, I don't need $1 million. That's $1 million. Could you imagine that? That you would run that race. You'd be like, the gun goes off, they shoot the gun, and you're running, right? And you would be so excited, right? $1 million, right? And you'd be $1 million. How exciting. You got to train. Now imagine if that same scenario came up. All right, come to you. Hey, we got a sponsor. You finish the race, 4.5 hours. You're going to get $1 million. But this is the thing. You have to run the race tomorrow. You know, there'd still be people that'd be like, I haven't run a day in my life, but I'm going to try and run that thing tomorrow for $1 million. Now, would you make it in 4.5 hours? Probably not. You'd be like, $1 million, right, by the 10th mile, 3.5 hours in, you know, $1 million, pull me, take me. You wouldn't be able to do it. You wouldn't be able to do it. Great reward, but you didn't have enough preparation. And as we look at our life, I can't tell you when, I can't tell you if, but I know that a trial will come, that circumstances will come. And what happens is that so many people, all right, this is the one thing. If you're going to take anything away from today, take this, okay? This is the one thing that people do, I see over and over, is that we wait till the trial comes, and then we try to prepare for it. You see, if you found out you had to run the marathon tomorrow, you could run 5 miles today. It ain't going to make a difference. Well, it will. You'll be more sore, and you won't be able to run it tomorrow. And what happens is people wait, and they try to navigate trial to trial to trial. And when things are going good, they don't train. When things are going good, they neglect it. And then when everything falls apart, they're ready. No, I want to change. Now I want to get help. Now I want to get counseling. You know, your marriage might be going good, and you're sitting here. You say, well, why do I need to go to the Art of Marriage? Our marriage is doing good. I'm an awesome husband. I have an awesome wife. Why? I don't need to be a part of that. I got better things to do. But then when your marriage falls apart and you're like, babe, please, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go to the Art of Marriage. Let's be a part of it. And then your wife by that time is like, I don't want to do anything with you. And I've seen this over and over. When people, when their marriages were strong, they neglected the training. But when everything fell apart, then the spouse was ready. Come on, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. And they didn't want to be a part of that. Are you guys with me this morning? What I'm trying to encourage you is this, is that in the times of rest, in the times when it feels like everything is okay, don't neglect the training. Be ready, because I'm telling you, sooner or later, you're going to face another mountain. When your marriage is strong, that is the best time to go to a marriage conference. That's the best time because you get along better at it. Try going when you're mad. And the speaker starts talking about something, and then you start elbowing. And then, man, oh. The best time is when your marriage is strong. The best time to get financial advice is when you're in a good financial place. Not when you lost all your money. Say, oh, now I want it. And then things get better again. No, we got to begin to reprogram ourselves. Try to begin to make ourselves stronger when we already feel strong in an area. Don't ever be afraid to invest in your strengths and to put yourself in a better place. You see, being rested is a big thing. The Bible talks about that day of rest. I think it's huge. So if you're out there and if you are just burning yourself out every single day, you know what happens when crisis comes? You're going to fall apart. But if you're putting that one day of rest into your life, you know, you're going to be in a better place to handle the crisis that comes in life. When you're spiritually and emotionally in a healthy place, when that time comes, you're going to be in a much better place in life. I believe that having that day of rest is important. Having that day of rest is a good thing because I believe this, it makes you trust in God even more. When instead of working, you say, you know what, I'm going to take this day of rest. God, I'm going to place it in your hand. It's important for us to have that. If you're one of those married couples that are continually at each other's necks, and there are couples like that, you're continually at each other's necks. Every little comment turns into an argument. You know, whatever you thought was something small, what are we going to eat, turns into an argument. You're always at each other's necks. You probably need some rest, okay? But don't stop when things get better. Keep it going. Keep it going. You're going to have difficult days in your marriage. Start training now. You're going to have difficult days with your children. Start training in that area now. You have difficult days in your finances. Train now. There are going to be emotionally draining moments in your life. So get rested now. Get rested now. So that when that day comes, you'll be ready. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I just want you guys to grab that. It's so huge that we grab that. It's so much easier to get moving in the same direction in the good season than when you have to force somebody to do it. There are people out there who just work, and they say, well, you tell them you need to rest, and they go, no, I don't need it. But then when crisis comes, their life falls apart. It's important that we look at that. And the last thing is this, number three, don't be ashamed to ask for help. Don't ever be ashamed to ask for help. As Jesus was on the cross, obviously he was not able to serve himself a drink. There he is suspended on the cross, couldn't serve himself a drink. And as he's on the cross, he says, I'm thirsty. Jesus asked for help. And there is nothing wrong today with asking for help, nothing wrong with accepting help in life. You might have been there before when you've needed, you ever been a place where you could have used a couple extra dollars? Someone comes along and they want to give you some money. It's, nah, I get them. I'm good. Our pride can hold us back. But inside, we're like, man, I really could have used that. I really could have used that help. I really could have used what they had. But because of our pride, we say, nah, I'm good. We want to make ourselves look good, right? But inside, we need that. I want you to know that there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with asking for help and to accept help. You know, we've had people in church that when they've gone through a hard time and they've called for help, I'm always so grateful when they do that because it may just be a 15-minute conversation. It may be 15 to 20 minutes of just talking together, and it helps to align them in their life and get them pointed in the right direction to navigate that tough day. You can get out a lot quicker when you ask somebody for directions. Thank God for GPSs, right? I've always said I'm a firm believer. I believe that there have been many marriages and vacations saved because of that little box that talks to you and tells you where to go. But if you have if you're lost and you refuse to use your GPS, you're like, let me just figure it out myself. You're pretty dumb. And dumb is a strong word. But get some dummies out there. If you were lost and there was a GPS with the sucker stuck on your window, plugged into the cigarette lighter, and you didn't turn it on because you said, I'm going to just figure this out. I've never been to Dallas before. but I think I can figure it. If I just know where the ocean is, I can find it. And look at that. Boy, that's not too bright. Not too bright. Why? Because that box can tell you where to go. Or you talk to one of the locals, they can tell you where to go. But why is it when it comes to life and our life and our marriages and our relationships and our businesses and whatever else we're trying to do, why are we so afraid or so hesitant to ask others for help? You know, if your marriage is going through a hard time, some of the best things you can do is go find the person that's been married for 30, 40, 50 years. Go take them out to dinner. Go ask them how they worked through their problems. Ask them how they did it. Get some advice from them. If you have a business, find someone that's more successful than you. Take them out to lunch. Ask them how they did it. I tell you, you can learn so much when you look to people that are where you need to be. Don't ever be afraid to ask for help. You know, when I was a couple of years ago, we had the church on the other side. We had a little bookstore in there. And I remember when we moved the bookstore, there was a safe in the bookstore. And we had to move that safe, and it was just me and one other guy, and that safe was heavy. If you ever picked up a safe, it's heavy, and they're awkward to carry. And I remember we needed to move it a little bit, and the other guy's a little older, so I didn't want to make him do it. And I thought, well, I can just, it's just one quick thing to get it pulled out to put on the dolly, right? And I remember just that one quick thing, and we did it, got it on. I thought, oh, that's okay, and then I stood up. And my whole back, like, went into a spasm. I mean, it just locked up, like, just like, you know. And I remember this, I just laid down on the ground, and I was just laying there like, oh, I've never experienced that kind of pain before. I was thinking to myself, that was pretty dumb. Like, there's other guys in the church. I mean, I could have asked Ed or I could have called somebody else. We could have got one more hand. But I was like, no, I'll do it myself. I can do this by myself. And man, I went through pain. And I had to, good thing I could get someone to crack me back in place and all that stuff. But, you know, in life, sometimes we think, I can do it by myself. Husbands are like, I can navigate my marriage by myself. I can do this. I can do that. Can I tell you today? Get help. There are people out there who would be more than willing to help you in life, to help you navigate the seasons of life. I wonder how many people fell in life because they simply refused to ask for help. Smart people ask for help. Smart people ask for help. Successful people aren't people that think they can do it all by themselves. They are people that they'll staff their weaknesses. They get help when it's needed. People who have the ability to learn from other people's mistakes. I'd rather learn from other people's mistakes than have to make the mistake myself. If somebody already wasted $3,000 on an idea that didn't work, tell me about it. Okay, then so I don't have to spend my money on an idea that's not going to work. You know, so I want to encourage you today, don't ever be afraid to ask for help. Find somebody who's more spiritually mature than you are. Ask for help. Jesus wasn't afraid. Jesus asked for help. Jesus knew what his limitations were, even in the body he was in, and he asked for help. And that helped him navigate turning a bad day into a good day. Amen. Won't you bow your hearts with me this morning? And just ask yourself that question, God, what are you speaking to me through this message?